I'm happy now to welcome Bettina Görling. She is part of a film called Bloodlines, which is screening this Friday, the 13th of November, at the Jean Cocteau Theater, also known as the New Mexico Film Museum. It's a free event. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, this documentary, Bloodlines, is a film in which we see you in your being here on the planet as grandniece of Hermann Göring, who played a major and rather horrible role in the Holocaust.
Exactly.
And you grew up with that legacy. You hooked up with an artist in Australia named Ruth Rich, who was Jewish and was doing paintings dealing with being from a Holocaust survivor family, and the two of you started corresponding. How did that happen, and where did it go?
Yeah, so it's a very interesting story. The way it happened was all through mutual friends. I had a good friend who I used to live with here in the States, and she was Australian. She moved back there. And one day I wrote her an email, I think, saying, one day I will write a book how I've come to terms with my legacy. And then she also knew Ruth, and Ruth had never really dealt with any of those issues until she did these paintings. And then she was an old friend of Ruth for 20 years, I think, and then one day said to Ruth, well, at her exhibition you should meet Bettina, because you guys would be very interesting to get together. And that friend of mine, she was into this peace movement called the Peace Flame. You ever heard of that? It's people, they take like, it's a yoga thing. One of the guys, one of the nephews of Gandhi's next followers, started that in England. And they take the peace flame, like the Olympic flames, all over the world to bring people together from different, like Palestine and Israeli conflicts in Sarajevo, or like the likes of us, and bring them together and create some peace. And that was the idea. That's how it all started.
It's sometimes, at moments, rather an awkward film to watch, because here is this woman, Ruth Rich, a wonderful painter, she's very good, who is kind of later in life, her children are long grown, examining the pain and grief from the Holocaust and kind of putting it on you.
She sure did, yeah, I know. It was, I mean, if I maybe would have known the whole impact, what it would have done beforehand, maybe I wouldn't have gone so readily, but it didn't seem like it was going to be such an encounter. I mean, I had glimpses of it, but I thought, anyways, I need to do this for myself or for whatever, just for my own healing. And so I went, and I expected it to be a few days, and it took 3 weeks and until I kind of put an end to it, you know, myself, and said, okay, enough of this already. But it was much more intense than I expected.
Let's talk about your part of it. Certainly there has been, in Germany and in the entire post-World War II diaspora, a great deal written about and films made about and songs and literature and everything about the Jewish experience of the Holocaust, but not very much about the descendants of people who really did the bad deeds in Germany.
Very good point, yeah. And of course, since it's all shame and guilt, I mean, nobody wants to talk about that very much. And I've been dealing with it in some ways from very early on, because what the filmmaker leaves out of the film, half of my family was fascist, half of my family was anti-fascist. And there was like a grandfather and grandmother of each side left that were sort of warring it out. And then my parents were neither. I wouldn't even say my father was at all, even though he was born into that family. But it was that older generation. So all that was fighting each other in me, so to speak. And I try to deal with it like as in becoming, you see in the film, you know, I became a hippie, a communist, got into the 60s, whatever, you know, a movement. But I've been trying to deal with it in some way or another for a long time, like compared to Ruth, who only started dealing with it much later. What we all have in common, though, and that I'm starting to learn later, is none of our parents could really deal with it. It was too painful. Like the grandparents would be in total denial, or like my grandmother was a Nazi till the end of her days. She just would even say it didn't even exist, the Holocaust. And she was in every other way a Nazi. That's the way she behaved, how she behaved even to my mom or my mom's family.
What did that look like?
She was like upper class and everybody else was not as good as she. And she treated everybody horribly. Like she would call them these people. This purple, do you know what that means? Oh, you speak German. I mean, it's a very down-putting name for like working class people or something. Yeah?
So it's very much an us and them kind of thing at its, oh, yeah, at its root, obviously, but maybe not so obviously, because it's not just Jews during the Nazi time and war resistors and so on who were the object of scorn. It was almost everybody.
Yeah. It was everybody. I mean, in her case, what added to it was her class thing. So, I mean, that's how I experienced it. For me, like, the Nazis and the upper class was the same thing. In her persona, what I grew up with, and what I kind of detested from day one.
One of the things I found striking and kind of sad watching your role in this film, Bettina, was that you at a certain point made a permanent decision, a surgical decision, not to have children because you didn't want to pass on whatever that was.
Yeah.
Did you think that kind of Nazism was genetic?
Not really, but still, it was somewhere subconscious, I think, in there. I mean, like my conscious mind, of course, says, sure. You know, I can do whatever I want, but don't underestimate like these very deep-seated feelings of shame or guilt. And it's not even mine. It's my parents, it's my grandparents, it's like the whole of Germany who have it somehow subconscious. And since, even though so much, like you said, Holocaust stuff has been dealt with in Germany, really, nobody really wants to go to this guilt thing. It's so painful, you can imagine. I mean, what do you think? Like, in our generation, we rebelled, of course, but you hear some of your ancestors were mass murderers. What do you think of that? You know, how do you reconcile? And in my particular case, it's like in my family. And it's not just me who didn't have children. My whole mom's side, hardly anybody had children. And that they weren't Nazis. So, I mean, it's a whole sort of generation, the next generation, like more, I guess, and the ones born in the 60s was already different. But I think it was us who was just after the war and maybe born in the 50s, a lot of us didn't have children. And I'm sure that plays into it, that there was so much, you could say, unfinished karma. I mean, not dealt with emotions, so much. It was just hushed up. So it was like first everybody was destroyed. All the men were gone. Then they had to rebuild. And when I was born, they were already calling it the Wirtschaftswunder, which means everything was growing again. Sometimes that happens.
The business, the economic wonder, the economic miracle.
Exactly. And so everything was bright and easy, as if the other stuff never happened. Yeah, there was like in some programs and in school a little bit about the Holocaust, but it was like nobody wanted to go there, really.
At the same time, more literature dealing with, and films and so on, and theater dealing with the Holocaust has come out of Germany. I've never known of any culture that has really dealt, and actually I think matured so much from their own, let's say, guilt, or, you know, they did a bad thing, they lost, they were exposed,
right,
and then they dealt with it culturally.
They did, yeah, and that's really a wonderful thing, too, that I think happened in Germany. Like, we had lunch the other day, and I said, Germany, thanks to Hitler, is probably never going to start a war again. And I believe that, because it so turned itself. I mean, it so looked at all that. And still, people like the likes of me, you still have that stuff to deal with, you know. Even though it's even worse or better, I don't know how to say it, that it's not directly mine. I think I can actually deal with it better because it's not directly mine. There's another documentary I'm also part of that's called Hitler's Children. And there was the daughter of Amon Göth. You know, it's the guy from Schindler's List. she was interviewed, and she's a bit older than me, and she didn't deal with that until much later, and only Schindler's List actually showed her what her father was like. Can you imagine?
Very interesting.
I mean, that must have been so shocking. I feel for her. You know, I mean, she was like destroyed, and she was this very sweet lady. Her father was also killed in 46, I mean, hanged. And there's again that denial. Like, I mean, the people who really were a part of it, they would not say we did something wrong. The other ones who were maybe not the perpetrators directly, but I think they looked at it, their kids looked at it, our generation, you know, from the 60s definitely looked at it.
We're talking to Bettina Göring, and the film Bloodlines will be screening this coming Friday, the 13th of November, at the Jean Cocteau Theater here in Santa Fe. It does really bring up a set of questions which I think are worthy of discussion and introspection, which is, what are the psychological legacies of ancestral trauma? How real is it? How culturally instilled is it? Do you have deep guilt and shame among the descendants of Turkish Americans who were involved in the Armenian genocide, which really didn't get very much publicity compared to the Holocaust?
Right, right.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't either. I'm sure, you know, like that we, I believe we, not just culturally, but I think in our DNA we have all the experiences of mankind. Not just of our, like, German experience or Armenian experience or Jewish experience. I think it's all in us in some way. And whether, I mean, this is more on a personal level that I've experienced it and had to sort of expose that part of myself in order just to heal. But I bet you the Turkish culture, just by denying it, or the Japanese culture, just by denying that they did all that stuff with the Chinese, which they are still doing to this day by never apologizing, there's a lot of trouble because of that with their kids. So there is, like, and it doesn't have to be so direct, you know. I mean, every German friend of mine, whether their people, their parents were involved or not, when they see, like, a train going, like, to Auschwitz kind of thing, their stomach turns. What do you think?
There is a kind of balance between that which is embodied in the slogan, never again, which implies never forget, and then on some level, the need to let go of pain and guilt and anger and move on. So on one hand, never forget, but on the other hand,
right,
do let go. And that's also a tricky balance, which I think you explore on some level in that film, Bloodlines.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was about for me. I mean, I had been exploring it on so many different levels, and that was for me really a real healing in order to really drop it. But I had to heal it first in myself in order to really drop it. Same with Ruth. She had to maybe do what she did in that Bloodlines documentary in order to drop it finally. And I think she's painting all these ghosts. Us holding on to it keeps those poor ghosts still with us.
At least for a moment.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess that's what I like. I mean, I have to say, it wasn't always pleasant to watch every single minute of the film, but it definitely does bring up these questions and not answer it in a way that I think is very productive. And I'm glad you're going to have a question and answer and a discussion period after the film.
Exactly. I mean, that is a very stirring up documentary, and that's why I like it. It brings up all sorts of stuff about everybody's good and evil potential, and it's not just about Nazis and Jews. I mean, it can be used for anything. And it's really good to talk about it, which kind of would bring a joint healing afterwards.
Now, you found healing and you went on with your life here in the United States through partially becoming a doctor of Oriental medicine.
Right, yeah, that is, of course, that other side of me, the healing side. I mean, the reason I even did this in the first place is that healing side of me, that I know, you know, what I can do to get to that place. And I'm very grateful for all that. And part of it, I mean, it's a sort of therapy we were doing there with each other, even though it was very spontaneous and not planned. But if I look at it from Oriental medicine perspective, it's like, yeah, you need to get to the root of it and then you can move on and heal. And it's a spiritual, I mean, it's a spiritual healing that was needed there.
Have you found it productive to be with other descendants of Nazis?
I had never attempted to, but the moment I left Germany, which I did very early, I was 19, I kept running into them. And each was, we were pulling each other together, you could say. And they are attracted to us as much as we to them. The descendants from, I mean, that's my experience, from friends I've met. That
wait, who's attracted to who?
The descendants of the Holocaust as much as to the descendants of the Nazis. I mean, there's so many friends I have who have this German-Jewish connection. I mean, there's so many people who left Germany. They were, I mean, they thought of themselves as German, not as Jews. So they have that same cultural background. They miss it, you know.
So you, in cultural ways, have very similar heritage.
Of course.
And then in political ways are on two sides of the line.
Not necessarily. Not us as descendants. We're often on the same side of the line.
Interesting. So where does this all sit for you now? Is there...
What has happened for me, I have for a long time in my life just like sort of lived with my mother's family, who are the good guys, so to speak, and I've started to forgive or accept my father's side of the family. And interesting enough, they've started to contact me just in the last year. And they of course are not all Nazis, thank God. And there are some very nice people. So I'm allowing, I mean, this was for me all about not allowing my power to be there because I was denying a whole side of myself. And so this side, as I'm allowing it, it's appearing, you know. There's like gifts too from that side, you know. It's not all good and bad.
Bettina Göring is in the film Bloodlines, which is screening this Friday, the 13th of November at the Jean Cocteau Theater, which is in the New Mexico Film Museum. It's a free event at 7 o'clock with a discussion afterwards. And I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.